Cups, about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Oh, summer, preseason, summer transfer window. It is nearing its close, even though we've got a month left in the transfer window. But what I'm talking about, practice, sir, practice is getting ready to close out. We are days away from the opening of the 2022-2023 Premier League season. I'm hype mode. I cannot wait. Erik ten Hag's Red Army. He's going to be doing it on his own, sir. Transfers, they're not coming fast enough. But season right around the corner. Brighton and Hove Albion on Sunday, next Sunday. Can't wait. How are we feeling?
Look, Wrexham behind closed door today. Eriksen scored a goal. Martinez was on the line for Manchester United. All exciting transfer announcements. Lots going on at Carrington. Sir Alex, Ronaldo, crunch talks. Manchester United, the desperate. Going for the desperation move across all lines. Desperate to get Ronaldo back. Desperate to get Frankie de Jong. And when you're desperate and the season starts in 10 days, oh, it's a tough look.
It's a tough look. It's a very tough look because it's not just the Frankie story. It's not just the Ronaldo story. It's the number nine, even without Ronaldo leaving. It's the additions that you probably need in this team. Even if you get a Frankie de Jong, which seems increasingly unlikely, and putting all your eggs in one basket, as United has chosen to do so this window, was always going to be a risk, especially with a player that, you know, usually a transfer, especially a high marquee transfer, a big value over £50 million, it's difficult to do no matter what. And then you have a situation where even if we agree a fee with the selling club, even if we agree wages with the player, we still have this outside issue that we have no control over. And it might be biting United in the ass. You know, you don't want to call a transfer window. You can't really grade a transfer window until the window's closed, and we still have a month left. But that being said, the season starts sooner than it ever did. It starts a week earlier than usual because of the World Cup in Qatar. And this team, we lost five players that all featured last season, and we've only added three. So right now at the moment, we are net two down and a lot of work still to be done. Young squad, thin, very, very thin all around the board. I don't want to be negative. I'm excited about Erik ten Hag. I'm excited about what he's building. Discipline, accountability, rules. Got a lot of rules. I love it. But I'm just looking at front office, baby, because that's what summer is judged on. And right now we are floundering. But there's a month left. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, but not a lot of confidence that we're going to finish with a really marquee window like we need. So I'm getting worried. I'm getting worried because this Frankie story, I thought it was going to drag on because you're going to close it. Now it looks like we're not even – I feel like we're farther away than we were a month ago.
Look, it's interesting times as a Manchester United fan. I think it's important that you don't grade the window till it's over. I mean, until the fat – Lady sings, or the Sky Sports countdown hits, or the clock strikes midnight, the carriage turns into a pumpkin on Sky Sports Live September 1st, 2022. It's just the way it is. So some solid additions, though. I will say Eriksen, super pumped about that. And the biggest signing of all, Erik ten Hag, Mr. No Nonsense FC himself, running the show. So you got to be able to look at the positives, but you also have to say, man, the front office is leaving it late and leaving a big hill to climb. Ole said mountains are there to be climbed. Maybe not with this squad, but there's some clear places we need to strengthen. Doing that earlier in the window benefits Erik ten Hag, makes his job easier. But I have to give a big shout out to the bald maestro himself, because could you imagine coming into a club as big as Manchester United after last season, The guy shows up early to work because he's like ready to go and having everything going on around him right now. And he looks totally dialed in, not fazed by Ronaldo, not fazed by Frankie De Jong, not fazed by playing McFred. He's going to get the best out of what he's got. And he's no nonsense FC all day. And that's what I believe in. That's what I'm excited about. So I actually think the start of the season, you know, I'm pumped for. It should be like seeing Ten Hag, like the fitness, the pressing. I'm really pumped for that Brighton match. I'm sure you're going to see us play much better than we did against the last game against Crystal Palace. That's what I'm excited about. And let's hope the front office can deliver some red meat to us fans who are looking for some transfers. And if we can do that in the right combination, we might be breaking on through to that top four, baby. Let's go.
And that's it. You know, you made a great point. The most important signing of the summer is a Dutch player, and he doesn't play for Barcelona. He's not a Dutch player at all. He's a Dutch coach and seems to be in the prime of his career, seems to be exactly what this club needs, because at the end of the day, he's never going to get a first-class front office. We'll never have as good of a front office as the Scousers, as City, as other clubs around Europe with the Glazers. It's not important to them because they focus on that dividend. But we do have a top-class manager. He does seem to be given a high-level autonomy, good and bad, right? Maybe some of these transfers are dragging out because he's being stubborn about who he wants. You know, we've talked about this a lot on the pod. This is why you need a director of football that's seasoned, that has longevity in mind, that can be like, hey, man, I know you want Frankie de Jong, but we need a holding midfielder, and there are others available. Maybe we should look at other players. You know, we can't go all in. Whatever. We're all behind Erik ten Hag because that's all we got. That's all we got. He's the only one with some footballing expertise that is basically deserves to be there. Richard Arnold, he isn't qualified. He's proven it. Murtaugh, he ain't qualified. Darren Fletcher, I don't even know what he does. He ain't qualified, but Erik ten Hag is qualified. He's got a squad of competent players. He needs more additions, but it's all about what we have today. I don't want to whinge all day. I want to talk about while we're positive. High work rate. There are players. There is talent in this squad. Not enough of it, but you know what? I have plenty to be excited about. I'm optimistic about the season ahead. I'm optimistic about him getting the most out of the players we have. But like you said, you want to have more to add to this squad because, dude, the season's thick and fast as is. And then, by the way, the Europa League season hasn't even dropped in terms of the schedule because they're still doing qualification games in August. But that gets going in September. So all of a sudden, you're going to be playing two games a week in the run-up to the World Cup. So there's going to be a lot of games, and we don't have a lot of players. Like I said, we lost Pogba, Lingard, Matic, Mata, and Cavani. All players, you know, none of them bang-on starters, but they all played a decent amount of minutes when available. We brought three players in. I like all the players. I think Lissandro is a player. Eriksen is probably the gem of the three that were brought in because he's Premier League proven. He's still got a lot of years left, and he's a top player. And then Tyrell's one for the future. But like I said, those are five out, three in. We need two more just to get to where we were last season. Work to be done, sir. There's work to be done. And a lot of that dead wood still has not moved yet.
A famous man once said on the podcast, I don't want to whinge and then whinge.
I can't help myself.
Look, it's you got to crawl, you got to walk, you got to run. I think last summer, Sancho, Ronaldo, Varane, everyone thought we were going to win the league, right? This summer, some pragmatic business and a new coach. I think we have to revise our expectations. And my expectation is that we play a better brand of football. We're cohesive as a team without leaking like crazy. And we get all the nonsense out. And I think you have to give Ten Hag a season to do that. As tough as that is as a fan to watch, you got to let this man, you got to give him a season, get all the players in and out. He needs two summer windows to do that. He's given Maguire another chance. We'll see if he can change his tune. It's going to take longer than fans want. And obviously we want it all done this summer. We want it all done now. But if you take the long-term approach and we back this manager, you're going to see success at Manchester United again, because his attitude and how he's handling everything is absolutely top-notch. You got to take your hat off to Erik ten Hag. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils podcast, and you want to support us, check out our Patreon page. You can visit it, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We don't have any private sponsors. We're not telling you about every product you probably hear ad nauseum on every other podcast. We want fans to support us directly. That way, there's no commercial influence on any of the hot takes we have. We can say whatever we want. We do a behind-the-scenes episode every month. You get more content. There's other benefits as well. Please check it out. Support the pod. Also, if you want to find other Muppets like yourself, check out our Discord channel. It's this great group chat. It's lively during summer transfer window. It's lively on match days. You can sign up. It's pinned on our Twitter profile. There's also a link on our website. Jump into Discord chat and meet other Muppets like yourself. Also, check out our website, AmericaRedDevils.com. Click on store for our new Munich Memorial scarf. This year is the 65th anniversary of the Munich air disaster, a disaster that defines the history of Manchester United. We've made our best scarf yet. It's unbelievable. Please check it out. Everything you buy in our store goes to support this podcast. We also have a coupon code, code Muppet. You get 15% off any scarf, including the Glazers Out scarves, which are back in stock. Please check out our website. Everything you buy supports the small-time operation. So tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or a five-star review of the America Red Devils podcast, wherever you listen, is a great way to support the pod. Costs absolutely no money. And even better, helps us get found by other top Muppets like yourself and promotes the pod worldwide. Here's what you do. Write a five-star review wherever you listen and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free American Red Devil gear and send it to your door anywhere in the world. We mean it. Send it globally just because it goes so far in supporting the pod. We've got a hot review, five-star, from SkiBalls903. Titled, "Yes, sir, you fools are welcome to listen to. Loving the pod since I discovered it. I'm pretty sure my friends and I did a pod. It would probably be like this. These two nut jobs have me cracking up, make it fun, and manage to drop in some good insight as well. Keep up the awesome work, sirs, and go Reds, not you, Cincinnati. Oh, and for the love of Alex, will somebody get these goofballs an air conditioner? Thank you, Ski Balls. Thank you, everyone that writes five-star reviews. It's not too bad today. I got the window open. We're doing it remote because I've got a little bit of a cold, but the pod never sleeps. The season's coming thick and fast, and you're right. We know it's going to take time. I got nothing but time, sir. Eighth place next year, don't matter. 10th place, 12th place, I'm all in with Erik ten Hag. I believe in what he's doing. I believe he's the man for the job. It's going to take a little bit longer because, you know what, we're dealing with the Murtaughs of the world, but hey, we got nowhere to go, baby. Manchester United, I ain't going nowhere, sir. Long con, baby. How you feeling?
I ain't going nowhere. Look, it's preseason. We're talking about preseason. Let's jump into this Aston Villa match. Manchester United finished off their Asian preseason tour. Jumping in the starting 11 here. Dave Saves world number one in net. Deleau at right back. Harry Maguire at center back. Lindelof, Shaw on the back line. We had Van de Beek, Fred, and Bruno Fernandes. Jadon Sancho on the right, Martial running in the middle, and Marcus Rashford on the left. Great lineup for preseason. Van de Beek slots in. Interesting that Van de Beek jumped in there. That's my only surprise change against Aston Villa.
Tyrell took a seat. He had started the previous match at left back. Shaw had an opportunity to impress. He actually looked pretty good in the first half, was involved heavily, had the assist for Jadon's goal. And that's that front three, baby. That front three ain't going nowhere. Jadon Sancho, Tony Martial, Marcus Rashford. That's going to be the front three that we see week in, week out. Ronaldo's on the way out. I haven't heard about any new players coming in that are going to contribute to that front three. Anthony, that went cold. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is a starting 11 that's probably pretty close. Mine is Donny van de Beek. I think you're more likely to see Scott McSauce start against Brighton next weekend. But that's the 11, sir. Without a lot of additions, that's what we're looking at.
All right, let's jump into the first half.
First half, this was a muck of a match, sir. It reminded me of us playing playoff football back in North Jersey when the rains would come. And then just the field was just torn to crap. I think they played a game the day before. It was in Perth on the west side of Australia against Stevie G and his Villains. But United came out, similar style of play as earlier preseason matches. Good first half all in all for United. High line, quick one-touch passing. very direct style of play. Standouts got to be Sancho and Martial and Bruno. Those three continuing to impress. Even Rashford coming in a little bit and starting to not overthink it, which is good to see. Not playing like, you know, hero ball like we've talked about. Him actually linking up pretty well with Shaw during the game. And it was a decent first half from United with some pretty horrible conditions. Some early chances. Actually, your boy Magoo had a decent header that was saved. Sancho had another good chance that was saved. And then in the 25th minute, we've been talking about that right side United's pitch all through Dalot and Sancho. But actually, this goal came down the left.
Something to do with that.
But now it's Bruno Fernandes. Rashford is waiting. Rashford against Cash again. Shaw on the overlap. Shaw with the ball in. And Sancho scores. Well played, Luke Shaw. He picks out Jadon Sancho. And Sancho has really made his mark on this tour. That's his third goal of the tour. And United lead Villa 1-0.
Just look at him coming round here. Perfectly weighted as well from Marcus Rashford. And there is the aforementioned Sancho, who's hardly been in the game.
Sir, scoring good team goals. And that's what you love to see. We've seen a lot of the two players that were involved early in this goal in Martial and Bruno. They've had a great preseason, but it went to the left. Marcus with a nice layoff to Shaw. Shaw with a really nice ball in. And then Sancho hammers it home, who has had a great preseason as well. Good to see. Really good to see. I know Shaw, especially when he's got players chopping at his position. We've seen flashes of brilliance underneath him. This was nice from him. Good ball in. And he also put together a pretty good first half.
No. I mean, like, this is what we've been seeing in preseason. This is what's giving me encouragement for the upcoming season. Question is, can they all stay healthy? We do need depth, but Ten Hag's got the boys playing very well.
He does. We had a little bit of luck in our second goal towards the end of the first half, but it was number 10, Marcus Rashford, involved again.
Sancho makes the run. Rashford waits in the center. Here's Marcus Rashford, and it ricochets in off Cash. A bizarre goal. Sancho to Rashford, ricocheted off Cash. It'll probably go down as an own goal. And United have a second before halftime.
So they certainly got some good luck, but the players that have been featuring and featuring well were heavily involved in this goal. Martial, Sancho with a good ball in. Rashford, hey, better be lucky than smart, even in football. Bounces off Cash in a fortuitous way, but hey, we'll take it. Right place, right time. Good goal, but the buildup was top.
Great first half, 2-0. Like, this is running right. Like, we have all preseason. Let's get into that second half.
Sir, enter that second half. It looked like a bleak day in Manchester. It was pouring down. The pitch was ripped apart. And unfortunately, it didn't take long for Aston Villa to pull one back in the 49th minute.
Bailey. Little step over. Bailey goes for goal. Brilliant strike. Instant impact from the halftime substitute. Leon Bailey steaming up the right-hand side. Little step over.
So a disappointing goal because, you know, there's been a lot of improvements in many areas of the pitch under the new manager. This is reminiscent. Both of our goals that we were conceded in this game were like vintage, you know, weak goals, one from a set piece, one from open play. This is one where Shaw didn't do good enough. And then Lindelof one-on-one just doesn't shut down the man, just kind of keeps backing up, giving him too much space by Bailey with a nice finish. And they pull one back, but you would have liked to see United play a little bit more tidy. They were a little sloppy in this half. They let Villa come into the game. Villa was playing super physical and trying to push themselves around, but this is a goal that we need to work on, and it's just a little bit of organization.
That's where we were weak. That's where we were weak last season. You know, the left back moves forward, center back doesn't close down. We've seen this movie before, and you're going to see these players struggle as they're adapting to Ten Hag style of play, because when you're trying to press and you're going to be that aggressive up the pitch, you're going to need hero ball, hero recovery from our defenders to be able to play that way. And that's Martinez came in. I mean, you're going to see some crazy challenges from him, I'm sure. But, you know, that's the consequence of playing Erik ten Hag style. And if players aren't going to be disciplined in their positioning, they're going to sit down. Malasia and Shaw, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. With 20 minutes left to play, big subs from Erik ten Hag. Bailly came in, Malacia, Varane, Telles, Wan-Bissaka, Elanga, Garner, Iqbal, Chong, and Hannibal all come onto the pitch. You love to see the kids getting their chance. Jimmy Gardner as well, coming back from that injury. And unfortunately, it was, you're like, are they going to give up a goal here late? We've seen United do that a lot. And 93rd minute.
Bailly with the corner, a deep one. And it is headed in. Chambers was in there. And Villa pinched the equaliser right at the end.
So we've seen that goal conceded by this Manchester United side before. You know, center backs, it's not the starting pair, but you would hope Varane and Bailly could do a little bit better. You would hope De Gea, hey, he's not known for his physicality and his presence in the box. That's something that needs to be worked on. Ultimately disappointing, because I think United probably deserve the victory at the end of the day. But they let Villa back into it in the second half, weren't as good with the ball, weren't as good in possession, didn't play quickly enough and gave the ball away probably too much, but we got to work on our set pieces. That is a known thing, and De Gea has to be a little more aggressive with these jump balls.
Absolutely. And the one thing I always say about preseason is take everything with a grain of salt. You know, you take the flashy play and the win against Liverpool, you take that with a grain of salt, and you're like, okay, yeah, you know, Rashford's fit, Martial looks up for it, Sancho's up for it. Yeah, that's totally great. Are we going to be the best front three in the world? Like some of the hypium I've seen on social media, it's like, it's never as good as social media says. It's never as bad as social media says. And look, De Gea definitely like gets blocked off. He definitely like ducks, but we're talking about practice. You know, I don't expect De Gea to go all in here. It is preseason, you know, there is an element of that. So I'm just going to take it with a grain of salt. What I imagine is you're going to see a lot more energy from United's attack. You're going to see some questionable positioning when we get caught out because it's a new style of play. And De Gea, TBD, but these corner goals, it's been a symptom of this team. And until we see an improvement, it is a concern. So exactly what you would expect to see under Ten Hag, especially there was no open heart surgery. We're playing with pretty much the same set of players. And we've seen that fitness is better, attacking energy and chemistry is better, but the defending, for me, that's lingering, set pieces, switching off, that's a symptom. We're going to have to see how that transfers to this proper season against Brighton. Also, preseason, we played Wrexham, we won 4-1, Eriksen had the free kick, obviously behind closed doors, Cristiano Ronaldo watching on, I'm sure, wearing some, you know, Gucci sunglasses and looking very Ronaldo-esque, somewhere up in a box, maybe with a monocle or something like that. Lisandro Martinez, he started at the back line. Apparently, we played pretty well. You love to see that.
You love to see it. Like you said, we haven't had our open heart surgery yet. We only had one new addition headed down under when the boys went to Southeast Asia and beyond. They're back in Manchester. They played New Boys Wrexham with their famous owners. And Christian Eriksen, he was announced yesterday officially. Lisandro Martinez, he was announced officially today. And they both featured. You love to see Eriksen scoring from a free kick. Lisandro gets some minutes, probably playing that left-sided center back. And then Ahmad with a goal, Garnacho with a goal, finally getting some minutes. Rumor is that there was a player that was supposed to feature in the preseason game, but because he was late to a couple of meetings, didn't feature. My hunch is that was Garnacho. But he finally got a chance to feature and scored a goal. So this is not a top side, but it's just more about team getting the minutes and certain players like Garner, like Varane, like the new lads, Christian and Lisandro, needing minutes. So, sir, Erik ten Hag is not shy about the boys playing and playing lots of football and making sure that they get the fitness up. And that's going to be the priority heading into the season is the players that we have. We want them to stay fit and we want them to be as fit as possible because there are so many games, and we still have Europa League. We got Hans and Franz to worry about as well.
Exactly. I like the commitment to fitness. Apparently this is supposed to be played by the youth team or have more youth involved, but ten Hag wanted to get the new signings some minutes, trying to get everyone fit for the season. I think it's all hands on deck. I really do like Erik ten Hag's approach. That covers the preseason. We got two games coming up. this weekend back to back. That'll be interesting how that is handled. Probably two separate starting 11s. I imagine that's how Ten Hag is going to be looking at it. We're playing Atletico Madrid, 4:45 a.m. Pacific, Saturday, July 30th. And then we were playing Rayo, I can't pronounce that, Vallecano, 8 a.m. Pacific, July 31st. And then that's it. Brighton, Sunday, August 7th. It's on like Donkey Kong. We're playing for keeps already. I cannot believe it. The summers go so fast here. But again, Pod Never Sleeps. We're here the whole way. We're going to be getting you a season preview podcast this weekend and the Brighton preview podcast next week. Lots to break down, lots to talk about. We'll see if there's any movement with Ronaldo or Frankie De Jong, etc. That being said, let's jump into transfer muppetry. What? I mean, I've never seen any muppetry like this summer, honestly. The 4D chess theories, the ups and the downs, it's been brutal. Honestly, as a Manchester United fan, you're looking for those replacements of the players that left, like you mentioned, and we're just coming up empty-handed. Ronaldo wants to leave, can't find a club. It'd be easier if you could just get rid of Ronaldo, get a replacement in, but this is just dragging. Saga after saga is what I feel like United's summer window is, and that's the worst type, because when you leave it late, like Eddie Five Fingers Woodward always would, you usually sign a Gallo on the last day or something that you don't really like, because if you don't have a lot of time, it's going to affect the quality you can bring in. And also, you have to take into account we're already playing four games by the time it's September 1st. And then it's very hard to add somebody late in the window. Let's get into it. Like you mentioned, Eriksen officially signed and announced. This, I think, is the transfer of the summer. I think league-wide, this could be the deal of the summer. Nunez, who knows how he's going to turn out. Haaland, obviously, you know, I imagine he's going to be...
He'll probably be pretty good.
I imagine he's probably the signing of the summer, but like his expectation is to score 30, and he's young, and it's City. I just think they're going to take a while to get used to playing with him. But for the money, the fact we got Christian Eriksen to want to join us after last year is incredible. Like, he, I think, is going to be a player. I think Bruno can learn from him. I really do think that Eriksen's going to be the signing of the summer when we look back on it. Even if Frankie De Jong comes in, I just think Eriksen will be ultimately a better player for United. Bruno can learn from him. That's the type of player we're talking about here. So I'm super pumped about Eriksen. Then Martinez, we've been talking about him. We signed him, five-year deal, $120,000 a week, option for an extra year. Everyone making fun of him because he's short. I'll evaluate him, but I imagine he's starting against Brighton with Harry Maguire.
So it'd be nice. That's your captain you're talking about. Have to agree with you. I think for the money, Christian Eriksen could easily be not only our best signing of the summer. I mean, of the three to date, he's the most exciting. But pound for pound, just a great transfer. It's got to be the Ajax connection, him wanting to work under Ten Hag. The money probably wasn't bad as well. But with the ever-increasing likelihood that Ronaldo leaves this summer, plus the players that we've already lost in the Mata, Matic, Cavani camp, like, there's going to be a leadership vacuum. Eriksen helps fill that. There are players that can help learn from. He provides just more options for the team. You give an option to Bruno to rest Bruno. You could play him with Bruno, especially if you had Frankie behind them. Even still, I would like to see a Fred, Eriksen, Bruno midfield. That would be exciting, but... Great transfer, great free transfer, the type of players that we need to be bringing in, especially when so many bodies are needed. And then Lissandro, expensive, sure. Probably the second most expensive defender we've bought other than Harry Magu, your boy. Little lad, everyone's talking about that, but his aerial duel success rate is very high considering his height. He's a warrior called the Butcher. I'm excited about that. And in the prime of his career, right, 24 years old, ready to make the step up. We lost our tatted up Argentine in Rojo. He was a mixed bag. Hopefully Lissandro can just come in right away, be the left-sided center back and contribute to this team. I think his high physicality, high athleticism will do really well in the Premier League. And play next to Magu, who's very good in the air, right? Like, Harry's got a lot of issues, but he's certainly good in the air. His aerial duel rate's very high. So the two of them together could be a formidable duo.
Yeah.
I try to be positive. Sure. They said be positive. I was told to be positive.
I understand. So my only nit against Martinez is, you know, first of all, we're going to see him play and you're going to know. But that price tag isn't give him a year, see, let him get up to speed in the league. That price tag is he's coming and doing a job. $55 million. That is a, you could have got Pau Torres. That's apparently what the scouts wanted. That's what we were slated to do. Ten Hag wants his man, his guy. And I think there is a lot of value to that. But that price tag is a do it today. Do it against Brighton. You're the man. It's your position price tag. That is where I think there might be an issue, because I do think he's probably going to need time to adjust to the English Premier League, given all the different dynamics and the physicality, et cetera. For me, it's the price. $35 million, wouldn't be saying that. $55 million, you got to come in and do the job. That's my only nit. Eriksen, great deal. Martinez, I love the player, but it's just the price tag, and it's the Glazers' money, so who cares? All right, we're talking striker replacements for a day. People were talking about Benjamin Sesko at Red Bull Salzburg. You know, we were kind of, he's on our radar. You know, Ronaldo might be leaving. We got to look at replacements. We're talking about Antony. We'll get to that a little later. Sesko, I literally watched the video, and he's nobody. Like, absolute nobody. He's just a tall Slovenian striker who's 19 years old. He might turn into somebody, but I'll tell you what, if you watched Holland when he was 19, he was miles ahead of this guy. He's really tall. The highlights are very thin, not a lot of footage. He is raw as hell. And the idea that we're going to be even rumored to be linked with this guy in the same sentence as getting rid of Ronaldo is a laugh. Facundo is ahead of this guy as far as development. So I do not mind being linked to him. I do not mind buying him. This is a do. Maybe this guy could play under 21s, you know, play in the youth side and then come in 4 years. You know what I'm saying? This is a long term, like, to talk about him in the same breath of like a replacement striker. He couldn't play at this level. You know, if you really look at his ability, it's not there. So we're just going to move on, because that was just, we weren't seriously linked to it. I think there's some rumblings. Maybe our scouts talked to his agent. It just seemed to me like that was BS. Getting into something more pressing, Antony from Romano. This is from today. He says, quote, "Let's see if Ajax decide to negotiate with Manchester United or not. At the moment, there is no bid from United. The agents of Antony are pushing since the beginning of July for Ajax to negotiate with Manchester United and not to have a stance on price." So essentially, Antony wants the move. His agents want the move. But Ajax not willing to play ball with United. They sold us Martinez, so, you know, they don't want to sell all their best players to us. And then more recently, Ajax said they just raised their price tag for him from 80 million euros to 100 million euros, because they're basically saying, hey, if you really want him, you got to overpay. I think that was their position on Martinez. I really do think they said, hey, if you want to pay top dollar, we'll sell him, but anything less than top dollar, we're not going to sell good players from our team. That is their position. Antony, again, not worth 42 and a half. Like, watch his highlight videos, like, not worth it. He's like a poor man's Richarlison who hasn't played in the APL. Richarlison went for what?
45?
Like, you should be signing Richarlison then. This one is, again, Eric Ten Hag guy, but 100 million euros, give me a break.
No, 100%. This is fuck you pricing, right? This is what happened with Leicester City, and we come calling for Harry Magoo, and they didn't want to sell him, and they gave us fuck you pricing, and we were dumb enough to pay fuck you pricing. So, like, if we could do anything, there's one thing to buy a player, but you buy a player for over his value, it's too much on the player. It cripples the team, right? Because you have less budget to use elsewhere. And as soon as they said Harry Maguire is 80 million pounds, we should have said, hey, he's a 45 million pound player max. We should have moved on, and that would probably have been the best for the club and Harry. Same with Antony. Like you said, he's a 40 million pound player max because of potential, This is just they don't want to sell him, so let's not go after him because there are other players available, and it just doesn't make any sense. Like, Ajax have already lost four players. They lost their coach, and they don't want to lose this winger. So I think we should look elsewhere. This is a case where, you know, you need Eric to lean on the front office a little bit and say, who else we got? Who else in the queue? Who fits the profile? Who's underlooked around the world that we could kind of bring in as a like-for-like or close replacement? Because it can't just be the former players that he played under at Ajax, especially when they just raised the price again by $20 million. That's preposterous. Move on.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not going to sell from us for, you know, a fair valuation. It makes sense. They're defending their team. You know, they got to make Champions League. They got money to make too. All right, moving on to everyone's favorite transfer saga, Frankie de Jong. This week, Xavi came out, talked about how he liked Frankie, but, you know, the financial situation at Barcelona, we're hearing rumors that Barcelona can't register these players if Frankie de Jong doesn't take a wage cut or isn't sold to Manchester United. The position is the same. From Frankie de Jong's camp, he does not wish to leave Barcelona. He wants to stay at Barcelona, but he does not want to take a pay cut. Manchester United have terms agreed with Barcelona. Barcelona want to sell the player. The player is saying no. Now, again, everyone's telling you, why would Manchester United be this interested in this player if he didn't want to come? And the answer is, somehow through back channels, they must know that he wants to come and he's only playing hardball with Barcelona over wages. That's what the theory is. Again, this is a game of chicken. Like I said, it's kind of like watching a divorce go and you're trying to pick up the scraps. You know, you're waiting for, you know,
who gets
you're trying
the
to
house?
Pick up some,
who gets the house?
Yeah, you're waiting for someone to get divorced, then buy their house on the cheap or something. It's you're playing with fire. And the only reason why I think we're doing it is because Ten Hag has said it's him or nobody. And that is a risky position. That's where I think you look at who left the club. You look at our midfield. Paul Pogba left the club. Matic left the club. You need two. Frankie's one of them. So you got to go sign another. So I don't think signing a different midfielder for cheaper or, you know, even $50 million, Neves at $70 million, and then maybe signing Frankie next season. Let it play out, but we need a midfielder at Manchester United. I think we're getting to the point here where we're starting to cut off our nose to spite our face because our season's starting and our midfield is thin, very thin, and that's concerning. McTominay's had injury, Fred has injury, we got Jimmy Gardner, but that's not enough in the middle of the park for Manchester United. Going forward, we have plenty of midfielders in the attacking role, but defensively, we need a body. We need a body, and this FDJ saga ain't going nowhere soon. So I just wish we'd be a little more opportunistic in the window, but when you leave it late, it's hard to do that because you're starting to see Ronaldo doesn't want to play, and then we go look at options, and they're all very expensive. Because we're telegraphing what we need to do. If you lock it up early, then you can be a little opportunistic as people don't anticipate exactly what you need. So, again, United not learning the mistakes from prior windows. They chose the saga route. They chose the long, drawn-out route. And we're going to pay. And that's just how it is. If you running the club this way, it's tough to watch. And the results usually follow in the same order. You have to overpay. And once you start overpaying, you put the club in a bad position.
No, 100%. And, you know, so many things that you can kind of drill into this. First and foremost, you need two players in the position, let alone one. So it's like, if you're all in on Frankie, that's one thing, but you need a second one no matter what. And you had a number of players that went for free. One in January in Zakaria, he went to Juventus. Kamara, we saw him on Villa. He's not a top player today, but he's useful because you need bodies. We don't have anywhere near enough bodies given how many games are coming thick and fast. And at the same time, it's like, what, there's no other player that could play Frankie de Jong's position? I mean, every player has a like-for-like player. They might not be quite as good or have the same level of years left or experience or whatever, but, like, he ain't that unique in terms of his skill set and what he brings to the team. He's a great player, but it's an adjustment to come to the Premier League. He wants top dollar on both transfer fee and salary, right? I'm sure he's owed a shit ton of money at Barca, and he would demand a shit ton of money at Manchester United, which is fine, but we need at least another player behind that. We've got a striker position to fill even with Ronaldo still at the team, right? We never even replaced Lukaku, sir. I can remind you of that years ago, 2018. We still haven't replaced him. And here we are leaving it late. This is why we were so hard on the front office in June when Arsenal were making moves, Spurs were making moves, obviously the Scouse Bastard, City making moves. We lost out on Nunez, apparently, because we were so in on Frankie de Jong and wanted to do one player at a time, which is just like the definition of insanity. But here we are, sir. There are 33 days in the window left. We have loads of players left to come in, and a lot of business to do. And like you said, your options are fewer. And also, the teams on the other side of the table have more leverage because they know you need the player and they have more negotiating power. So, dude, we never learn, because when you have the same numpties in charge, which we effectively do, you're going to have a similar outcome. So I'm a little nervous because, you know, I really do believe in Erik ten Hag, but we need bodies because, like you said, after Scott McTominay and Fred, who's next? You don't even have a Matic that you could put in there.
No, exactly.
Who Matic, you got?
We finished seventh, and Matic played a critical role for us. You know, Pog, but not so much.
Don't show us sixth.
Felt like seventh.
I know.
but it's just you know. Also, this we got to talk about. People we need to sell. You got to sell Aaron Wan-Bissaka. We need another right back. You got to sell Brandon Williams. You got to sell Phil Jones or Eric Bailly. The rumor that Eric Bailly might go to Roma. Brandon Williams is wanted as well. So there are deals. I think we'll probably see that pick up. But again, when you leave it late, it's hard to then get the replacements. Apparently, we have a lot of money, but we're not spending it. Nothing makes sense coming from Richard Arnold when he's drinking in the pub. Ronaldo watch. We got to get into it. Here we go. Ronaldo back for showdown talks at Carrington. He showed up with Mendes. Fergie showed up. Ten Hag was there. Sir Alex Ferguson was there. Please, Ronaldo, please don't go. And he still wants to go. So they had crunch time talks from Romano. No changes from the Ronaldo situation. Manchester United says he's not for sale. Cristiano Ronaldo told Ten Hag in the last 24 hours he still wants to leave. His agent Mendes will try again to find a solution. Waiting strategy, just like they were last year with Juventus. This is getting absolutely nutty because there's a certain skill in life that everyone needs to learn, and it's called taking an L. Like, people just got to learn how to take an L. Like, it's tough to... You serve up an L, you got to eat it. It's too salty. You know, you got to wash it down. L's are tough to take, but you got to learn how to take an L. Ronaldo and Mendes have gone to everyone, and they're just getting L's. Like, Chelsea don't want them. Bayern don't want them. Atleti don't want them. Every single club doesn't want Ronaldo, and him and Mendes are refusing to accept that fact. Because, like, he wanted to go. You give him a month, knocks on all these doors. Hey, Juve, you want me back. Hey, Real Madrid, you want me back. Hey, Barcelona, you want me. Hey, this PSG, no. Go through all the – okay. Go to all the clubs. Nobody wants you. Okay, time to start training. Time to get back to United. You have a contract. You need to play for us. That's what we need. And the fact that he's going to go again, him and Mendes are refusing to take the L and come play for United, now I'm getting pissed. You know, like, I like Ronaldo. It was a great player for us before. I'm a big Ronaldo fan. Got the signed jersey in the pod room. But you're getting, like, that ego that he developed that turned into a planet when he went to Real Madrid, because he couldn't behave that way under Sir Alex at United. It's kind of taken over because, like, hey, man, you're old. Like, people don't want you. And, like, you can serve Manchester United. There is a good manager here. The team is what it is. But, like, you could lead us, try to win something. Just take the slice of that humble pie, take the L, come back to training, and let's go. To not accept that is crazy. And just yesterday, Atletico Madrid. I don't know who invented this story about Ronaldo to Atletico Madrid. It's not true. Serving up another L. Bayern director, again, we discussed Ronaldo. I consider him one of the greatest ever. We came to the conclusion, despite our appreciation for Cristiano, he does not fit into the philosophy of our current situation. Nobody wants Ronaldo, and Ronaldo still won't play for Manchester United. That kind of pisses me off, because it's getting to a level now where are you going to go?
It's a good point, and it is getting to the point where it's becoming just, you know, we're always the biggest transfer story of every summer. It's just the way it is, because we're the biggest club in the world. We get pulled into every saga, and now we have two sagas. We've got Frankie, the saga that won't end, and then the Ronaldo shit show sandwich is getting worse and worse, because when he shows up at Carrington with his agent, that's a bad sign. I saw that. I was like, oh, fuck, because that means he means business. He's trying to angle for a move, and at this point, you don't want an unmotivated Cristiano Ronaldo at your club. You're paying $50 million a year, and he's going to get a toothache, as someone said hilariously, every Thursday, because he doesn't want to play Europa League football. And also, I get it, dude. He's on 18 years straight of Champions League football. He wants to do 20. He wants to be like a legend of legends. I get it. We should just like see if we can cut his contract with mutual consent, right? Like, you agree to leave, you can be a free agent. That probably makes it more likely.
No.
Dude, you don't want to piss off Ronaldo, who doesn't want to play. You don't want to play.
Let me interject here. Ronaldo fumbled. As soon as we didn't make Champions League, if he came out and said, I don't want to play for United because they're not in Champions League, I want to go somewhere, I think it would be different. He waited and then came out late in the window. And honestly, it's up to him and his agent to say, hey, here's a team that will pay you $20 million. Like, what do we pay for our VP? 20, 25 27 million?
Million? 27 million.
20, 27
worth
million.
Worth every penny.
So he's got, Ronaldo has a year plus an option. So let's call it 2 years left on his deal, $25 million for Ronaldo. They can't deliver that. Ronaldo and Mendes can't deliver a club to pay for him. And if they cannot deliver a club to pay for him, sorry, brother, you're playing for us. It is your fault. It's not United's fault. You're our number nine. We told our manager, you also told our manager, you would play. You're in our plans. Then all of a sudden you changed your mind sometime in the summer. And we said, okay, go find a deal. You can't. And we can't get money for you. And you're in our plans. And so you got to take the goddamn L and eat it. And you got to start playing. Because if nobody wants you, it's not like PSG are trying to pay us $30 million. If they did, we'd sell them. Nobody wants Ronaldo. And Mendes and Ronaldo are like flailing, looking desperate. And I just don't think that Ronaldo is so – if you've ever watched videos of him, he is surrounded by people where like nothing bad can be said in his presence. You know, it is so Looney Tunes how he's managed. Where like if he's asked the wrong question, like the guy who asked is like ushered out. Like he is so sensitive. So they're only telling Ronaldo positive things about what's going on and that he's going to be able to leave and play Champions League. And then all these big, big names of Atletico and all of the Bayern are saying, nah, nah, nah. So you have to ask yourself, how far are they going to push it? Is it going to work? And the answer is Ronaldo probably stays. Frankie probably doesn't come. And we'll see how that goes. But it's on Ronaldo. If nobody wants him, we should not sell him because we don't. He fumbled it, dude. He fumbled. He's in our plans. It's the fact he changed his mind midsummer. That was the main problem here.
Yeah, and like you said, there's no buyers because it did it like over a month ago. I think it was mid-June, if I remember correctly. And if there were buyers, it'd be one thing, but there are no buyers at the price and at his wages. The only thing is, do we want like a unmotivated Cristiano Ronaldo? He was reasonably unmotivated last season. You know, there were certain games he just didn't show up at. You know, Crystal Palace, I went with you, sir, being one of them. He's like, I'm good. That will happen.
We can't get a replacement, though.
Of course not. We can't even get a backup to Martial.
You can't terminate the contract. You can't terminate the contract, get zero money, and have no replacement.
You save the wages. You save the wages. So it's like, that's real money. But I agree.
That helps the Glazers. That doesn't help us win football games at the end of the day. You know, so like, yes, I don't like the situation, but I believe that the club had probably told, like, I think Erik ten Hag doesn't want him. And I bet you the club doesn't want him. I bet you the club has said, like, they've told them, get $20 million, you can go. Right. But they can't get it. And so what are we going to do? Like, shoot ourselves in the foot so Ronaldo can go play, like, and there's no team.
They want us. Apparently, the latest rumor is they want us to renew his contract for the additional year because there is an option, and then subsidize his wages to go play Atletico, which is like, good luck, bro. Because that's the worst idea of all. Yeah, pay 20 of our 50 million wages and let us go to Atletico Madrid. Sir, we're not in a great situation. Nobody, but you're dealing with Ronaldo, and he's the Ronaldo circus and the planet, and it's like the good, bad, and ugly. It's like he's a great player, yes, even still, world class. He would score. He probably scored 30 goals under this team because even better, we were dog shit last year, and he scored 24 fucking goals between Europe and domestic. He could score even more, but is his motivation there? There's no Champions League for him to play in, and I don't know. Here's the thing. We got 33 days.
For him, though.
Step one. It's not like first. Is he here or not?
Nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. If there was an £18 million offer from, Napoli, yeah, he could go 100%, and we could sign. But like, we probably would have signed Nunes if we knew Ronaldo was going to leave. So he screwed us, and then he's going to try to leave late. And then we're not going to get a lot of money for him. It was the situation was handled very poorly, and he's kind of made his own bed. So I don't feel bad for him. And I think the way him and Mendes are going about it, it's not a good look, because they're just basically proving nobody wants to sign him. And that's a tough look for Cristiano Ronaldo to swallow at the end of the day. All right. Jumping into fan questions here. We got a few, some from our Discord channel. Meacher 10, quote, do you think we'll not get a CDM this window or wait another three windows to do so? I feel like it's always been the problem. They don't fix it. It's like trying to fix an engine by changing a tire. Alex, what do you make?
No, 100%. I mean, I have no confidence. I don't think we'll get more than one midfield addition. I don't think it's Frankie. Maybe it's just someone else. Maybe it's Neves. But like I said, we haven't replaced Lukaku. Matic needed to be replaced years ago in terms of having someone come in, learn from him, and then move Matic out. And like, it doesn't look like we're going to replace Matic as kind of your destroyer CDM. So that's how the Glazers have liked to run this club, as cheap as possible, maximize their own return, put as little dollars in and take as many dollars out as they can. So I would imagine they're going to do the bare minimum. And right now we're below the bare minimum. Like I said, we're net two down of actual starters or squad players. And I don't know any other players that are getting close. It feels like we're like Antony, 100 million. Like, that ain't happening. Neves, half the time we hear that he doesn't, not Neves, De Jong doesn't want to come. Barca don't want to pay him. What a shit show that is. Barcelona are just like signing players left, right, and center. And I thought they were bankrupt. Like, I don't even know what's going on there. So we're not in a great situation. We're leaving it late.
Quote, will you guys continue to support? Oh, this is from Cantona from the Discord channel. If you're not a member of Discord or you don't know what it is awesome. We have 700 Muppets talking about everything from transfers to memes, everything. It's a riot. Cantona from our Discord channel. Will you guys continue to support the Jay Ling's clothing line? Now he has moved onto higher heights at Nottingham Forest.
Sir, hold on.
Are you getting your new Jay Ling's jeans?
Not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble.
I'm not hearing anything, sir.
Trouble. It's you can't hear the soundboard, sir. It's the Mourinho big trouble. I got nothing good to say about Jay Ling's. He should have been sold years ago. We should have let him leave and go to West Ham.
I'm just, from a joking standpoint, Jay Ling's, he is a social media sensation just based on like being cringe.
Sensation? He's a sensation?
No, but like everything he does is like, it's almost like he just gets a lot of like hate. So like everything he tweets, everyone kind of makes fun of, but like he does get like a lot of like attention. So I think he's like dominating like the footballer cringe category. And that is working for him in some way. He got paid a lot of money to play at Nottingham Forest, which is just like a riot.
1 year.
On Twitter at Rolling in the Deep 1995, as a club, we are definitely looking very desperate out here with this Ronaldo saga. Anything that you, sirs, are feeling good about going into the season? Ten Hag, very simple. And you got to give a shout-out to him that the fact he's dealing with the Ronaldo saga, he's going in, probably doesn't want Ronaldo, probably has been told top-down he's got to deal with Ronaldo, and he's going in and he's taking a knee and telling Ronaldo he wants them, even though I know Ten Hag doesn't.
That is the number one source of my optimism. Dude, he took the hardest job in the world. The hardest job in the world is showing up to Manchester United with some of the worst owners in football and a bunch of executives that have no right being there. Like, end of, not even fucking close. They have no qualifications to run even a championship squad, let alone the Manchester United, one of the most famous teams in the world. So I'm excited about Erik ten Hag. We're all in on him. We need to, like, he's the man. We don't have kind of the modern football structure where you have a really competent front office and then a manager that has a philosophy. It's going to be him picking the players, running the show, and that's fine because you know what? We know where our weaknesses are, and we know who our new strengths are, and that comes from this manager and his vision, and I'm all about that. That's what I'm excited about. If we had, like, Ole around or even, like, Poch, I would not have the level of excitement I have because, hey, we're probably going to finish, like, eighth this season, and I'm still excited because – dude, Rome wasn't built in a day, and this team has been a lot farther down than we even were last season. So this is Manchester United. We never die. We've got the greatest fans in the world, the greatest club in the world, and it's always darkest before the dawn. And last year was pretty dark, but there's promise here.
Seems like it gets darker every time we say that.
We've been saying that for like 3 years.
Next tweet, @AB_man99, quote, considering we finished outside of the top four and we haven't improved that starting 11 in any meaningful way, do you think Ten Hag is in for a rude awakening in the Premier League?
I don't think he is. I think when they communicated to him, like, they're not expecting him to finish top four. And if they are, they're idiots because they haven't backed him at all, as the question kind of asked. But I think our fans, we need to do ourselves a service and not expect top four. We are not, this team is not good enough to finish in the top four, like full on, not even close. We brought in three players, lost five. We're down two. I would love to just see better football. I don't think we'll finish better than sixth. I could see us finishing as low as eighth. And that's fine because I'm here for the long haul. So I think the fans are in for a rude awakening because we're reactionary, dude. It's social media days. It's like everything, you're only as good as your last 5 minutes. So I think people are going to be disappointed. There are going to be people when we go through rough patches that are going to be calling for his head. And they shouldn't because, dude, this is going to take time, especially given who's around him and who he's got above him, which isn't very top.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's like we've been watching this team for almost 20 years. And we Sir Alex, and you know, even their rebuilds with Sir Alex, and it was, you know, he was just able to get so much out of players. Like like he could get a team playing on such a level, and they shouldn't even have been anywhere near that level of just like the raw talent, like Darren Gibson, like Tom Cleverley, like, you know, like players like that. I think Ten Hag has that as well. It's just, he's going to change the style of play. We don't have a lot of new players. We do have like, a few who kind of know him and know that style, not enough. And so this season is going to be us struggling to play this new way while Ten Hag figures out who can actually, who's not a bluffer. I think backing Ten Hag gets you, you know, exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get a football team over time that is no nonsense. There's going to be no Harry Maguire leaking. Like, if Harry Maguire doesn't, like, change his tune, like 180 degrees, he's out, like, next summer, 100%. I agree that Ten Hag's gave him another shot, but that's a great example of a player. Like, if you're out of position or you're not fit or you're not buying in, like, you're gone. And Ten Hag is that guy, so it's a process. And so where we finish doesn't really matter to me. I just want to see that process unfold in a no-nonsense fashion. And when I say no-nonsense, I mean that the front office and the Glazers don't get in the way. So when he says, I need to get rid of Maguire, they do. Because I do think this team is going to look a lot different at the end of the year than it does now. And we're going to play a lot better at the end of the year. But you're going to see a lot of Luke Shaw out of position, Lindelof making the wrong tackle, conceding, us struggling with this new type of style of play like we did under LVG. It was really boring. Side-to-side passing, drawing a lot. I think with Ten Hag, it's not the side-to-side boring. It's the heavy metal. We're going to let a lot of goals in.
Yeah.
Like, And that's going to be difficult to swallow, but it's what we need to do to get better and then figure out who should be playing. So I am all in on that process. And that process is going to be a lot, probably harder for fans to swallow, because when I see tweets that like Martial, Sancho, and Rashford are the best run three in global football, like people are going to have a tough time. Like,
yeah,
people are going to have a tough time.
Not even the best front three in not even the best front three in Manchester, my man.
Because those people should be putting a lot of money on Martial to score 20 plus league goals, and they should be winning lots of money, because that is, you can look at what the bookies are baking in on what they're going to score, and it's going to be a tough one. Look, that is it for the regular podcast. We're going to jump in here to our end of the season podcast survey. We really appreciate everyone who filled out the survey. We go through it in detail. We're going to kind of touch on some highlights here. Some are funny, some are good. We got some great feedback every season we do this, and it matters so much to us because we want to get better. We want to hear what you, the fans, think about what we're doing. There's so many games. The COVID seasons, it's kind of just been a blur. And once a year, we always kind of take a step back, ask you guys for feedback, and we go through it. We did send out an email to our winner, Perry. Congrats. You won the $100 of American Red Devil swag. If you didn't win this season, no worries. We do this every year. And again, thank you so much for everyone who took the time to do this, because we do really do go through it. And we are trying to take the feedback to heart, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're from Jersey. Say it to our face. That's what we like. We want the tough feedback with the good and everything. And all the good feedback we get, it matters a lot to us. We read it all, and just want to say a big shout out to everyone who filled out the survey. So quick question here. How long have you guys been listening to the podcast? Surprisingly, 65% over 2 years. So we got a lot of OGs here.
Respect.
Who are fans of the pod. 20% over 1 year. And I think 15% 4 to 12 months. And then actually 5 or 6% 0 to 3 months. So welcome to the new listeners. And then shout out to the OGs. 2 years plus. It's been along for the ride. Our favorite podcast segments, match recaps. Match recaps, match previews, and United in the News. Those are the favorite segments. Not so many people like the betting lines, but me and Alex, I think it's a good preview. So we do keep it. We don't go too much into the betting lines, but we do appreciate the feedback there. We try to keep that short because I know there's not a lot of gamblers there. Given what's happening in the United States, I think that will change. And then fan questions isn't as popular. Probably not as popular for the people who don't ask the questions, but we do like to get some feedback in fan questions. So if you want to say something about, hey, the podcast could be like this, or you could do that, it's almost like it should be fan questions and feedback. And it's at the end of the podcast, so we do feel that if you kind of, you got your news, you got your recaps, and you want to say goodbye, you know, I think it's a good time to have it at the end. So then if you don't want to hear the Muppet questions, you don't need to. Next question. Are there any segments you'd like to see featured on the podcast that currently aren't? We got some great answers here. Everyone always asks for academy and youth team updates. We do a poor job at this. I think last year we were going to do an update every month. We're going to try to get into this more. I think with Iqbal, Savage, and Garnacho, I think there's a lot more exciting candidates in the academy. Also, we did cover the youth FA Cup that we won. We did do a lot of coverage there, but I think we could get into a, how's Iqbal doing? How's Garnacho doing? I think there are some other youngsters that are doing well that we do not mention on the pod, but you and me do follow. So I think we're going to commit to doing that this season. Voice questions, people sending in questions. We did do this in the past. It's actually harder than you think because there are a few people that do it, but we don't have enough that send in voice questions. We've kind of toyed with having a 1-800 number that you could leave a voicemail for, and that's something we might explore. I like this one, ARD Muppet Man of the Match. We don't do for some reason we didn't get into the Man of the Match and the player rating thing because it just seems like very cliche and very everyone kind of does it. So we either just like slate players or give players praise like ad hoc. I don't mind a Man of the Match. I'm more open for that. someone recommend Glazers Out Corner, like just doing a segment on the Glazers every month about the financials. I think it might be better to like put all the Glazers content in a set segment because, you know, Alex, like we get into the Glazers so much during the pod that people say it kind of feel like I've heard it before. So like maybe we just put that in a segment. I thought that was a great idea. People ask for more stats, deep dive on player backgrounds, more history. We're definitely going to be getting back to history. It's just been a crazy schedule. Usually we did those in international breaks, but this past season, the U.S. men's national team was qualifying, so we did less history. So we'll be back to that, the history segments. And then somebody wanted a silver lining segment because we've been so negative lately. So we're going to do our best to be positive. Last year sucked, so it was just like a real tough season. And this has been a shit summer. It's just one of those things where it does get difficult as a United fan. And it's not like we're rooting for, you know, a team like Everton or something. It's like we're rooting for the greatest football team of all time. And the standards are like off the mark. It's pretty tough pill to swallow. What do you think of those?
It's hard to drink a dog shit smoothie and tell you it tastes sweet. You know, like we're trying to be more positive, especially around the manager. But great feedback. Academy, we could do better. I love the man of the match. We can't help. We can't hide our Glazer hate. I can't. We just know too much. And history, the history of this club is incredible. The history of this club is a great reason why it's one of the finest clubs in the world. So great feedback across the board, sir.
We asked, what do you like most about the podcast? A lot of love the banter, the biased, unfiltered content, couchside vibes of my two favorite sirs. People mentioned the consistency of release. Like we're always on it after matches. That's because we got that pod bunker. So we're always ready to go. Somebody said that it's just two Muppets who are fans of the club talking. Feels like a conversation I could have with my friends. Another person said your authenticity. It's not two pompous wankers. You're straight up one of us and act as such. And that is kind of what we committed to, is like, we're not trying to outsmart anyone. We're just trying to be ourselves and just, like, we talk about United. This is exactly how we do it. We literally get upset at each other. We get mad about different takes. It's like a riot. That just who we are.
They love it.
Chemistry and how honest and authentic you are. I love how the pod never sleeps. You're the only Manchester United podcast I found that dives in the club's finances. We tried to do that as best we can. And also people said they like the hatred for the Glazers. When people said, what do you like least about the podcast? And this is what I'm interested in. Someone said, our team sucks. I thought that was a riot. That was pretty funny. A lot of people saying the negativity. They said, I think there could be too much negativity. The Glazers are horrible owners, but not everyone associated with the club is bad. Which I do agree. But for us, it's hard not to talk about the state of Manchester United without the Glazers. So I think we're going to commit to trying to find the right balance going forward. And we did get we are taking this feedback to heart. The cursing, every year we get this. Again, it comes down to the authenticity. If we're going to curse, we're going to curse. We apologize, but it's just a thing where we're like, we just want to be authentic and just say it like we would.
And we got young kids. I can't curse in front of, I can't curse in my house anymore. It's like the only place I can curse is the pod room. So I'm sorry, but it's like one place I'm allowed to curse, and that's like this bunker, and that's it. So it comes out sometimes.
It's also like a football fan pod. So, you know, it's kind of like you're drinking beers with your buddies at the bar. It's like people are going to curse. I think cursing on podcasts is pretty universal in sports. It's just unfortunate that's one thing we're not going to change. I don't think we curse, like this podcast, I don't think I said a swear word. Somebody check me on that.
I did.
I think you did. But like, we try not to, but when we're pissed, it comes out. Like dog shit smoothie. That's a good one. Someone said, sometimes it literally sounds like you're legit mean to each other. It's sometimes hilarious. And sometimes it's like, did he take it too far?
That's you, bro.
So long story short,
that's you.
I've known this guy since like sophomore year of like high school. So like when you know someone that long, and by the way, we're from New Jersey, so it's like people from New Jersey, I don't know, very populous state, a lot of people, so you learn how to just like kind of just like yes slate each other, and it's usually funny. Alex takes it. I mean, like, I probably do it to you, Alex, more. We are good friends. So, you know, it's just the way we are. It's like, it's just, if I can clown on you, I'm going to clown on you. It's just the way it is. You know, it goes back to high school. We were clowning each other playing North Jersey football. It's just, you know, I could definitely see when I came to California and I would make a joke at somebody and they were like, that hurts my feelings. And I was like, oh my God, you would have had a tough time in high school in New Jersey.
It's also just like a type of relationship.
It's cultural.
We're like, also it's the Jersey thing, but it's also like we're very close buddies. And we have a relationship where we're like, we're there for each other, but we all also bust a lot of balls. Like we break a lot of balls and we do it on the pod and that keeps it light, but it's all in fun, you know?
I also feel like I do it on the pod like,
more so.
Purposefully,
you do it more so
you can't like say anything back.
Well, I can't really just tell you what I want to say, which yeah, is just, like, I want to light you up. I basically
like,
want to
like sometimes like give you like a solid like body shot on the
yeah.
pod. And
yeah. like, I'm like, what? Did he just say that?
It, you know, just because you don't want to like
I just keep going. I don't just like go sideways. I can go sideways. I want to go sideways.
Yeah, you want to go like let's go.
What did he say?
Yeah. No, but that's also a part of it too. Is like sometimes trying to get you fired up on the pod is also fun. Another comment recently: there's too much complaining and negativity. You go on the back room and board and the coaches every week. We hear that. You know, the negativity. It was a certain period. I really do believe the period of time. It's hard to disconnect because you and me are trying to be really authentic. We're not just going to come on here and just like tell you what you want to hear. It's like the Glazers, Rangnick last year, like flying there and seeing it and then seeing these like guys without experience, like putting out propaganda that it's going to go great. And then you're seeing the results. It's like, it's hard not to like legit be like frustrated, but we do realize that nobody wants to listen to us just going. So we're going to try to give more of a balance and, you know, we're not going to win the league this year and we're going to be really pumped about Ten Hag, but then also maybe via a segment talking about the Glazers in the front office, just so that we can kind of put a lid on it and make it, you know, talk about United as, you know, a mid-table team and be happy about that, but then talk about the front office being incompetent and the Glazers ruining Manchester United. I think those things can coexist and we're going to try to do a better job of finding that balance. But again, you know, we wish we just would win the league and then that would solve all of our problems. I wish you two were more measured and not so reactionary. This one I do agree with, but we're trying to find that balance with being authentic and not being over the line, like with the negativity. So we, again, good feedback. Some segments run a bit long. I think you and me can both relate to that one. Probably me. That's me. I'm fine with the I yammer a lot. Felt like you're extra harsh on Maguire and the whole captaincy thing. Feel like he deserves a chance to prove himself under Eric Ten Hag.
Agreed.
You know,
I'm going to give him a chance. I'm giving him a chance.
Yes, I am too hard on Maguire, but no one to hold him, no one to fold him. That's all I got to say about Maguire.
You're not taking that L. This guy ain't taking an L.
No. I just think that, like there's a reason why Phil Jones is still on the team. There's a reason why Eric Bailly is still on the team. There's a reason why Lindelof's still on the team. There's a reason why we just, like, let players just hang out. And if you're running an elite institution, Van Nistelrooy, see ya. David Beckham, see ya. Like, Roy Keane, see ya. Like, that is the opposite of how this club was run. It wasn't like, go get in a bar fight in Greece and then go say dumb things in the press and then go leak everything. And then, you know, like, and then like, yeah, we'll give you 9 million chances. That it's not the way the club was run. And I think Ten Hag's going to run it a little different. And everyone deserves a clean slate under Ten Hag. And I just have a personal vendetta against Maguire. any feedback for me on the podcast? We ask any specific feedback for John.
My name is somehow mentioned a lot in John's feedback. What is that about? Let's get into it, John.
Let Alex finish his thoughts. Sometimes you guys cut each other off. Can tell you've been friends a long time. Yes, I cut Alex off all the time. I am horrible at it. I am trying to get better. I think I did better on this podcast, and I will continue to try to get better. It is a weakness of mine. Again, being from New Jersey, the way New Jersey works is somebody talks and someone talks and then the loudest person gets to finish the line. That's kind of how I was raised. So I have to work on that. Maybe taper it back a little bit on Alex. I'm dyslexic, so I feel for the guy, but not too much. It's also hilarious. So I think people are referring to you not being able to read, and how I like make fun of you for it. Alex does not have dyslexia, so it is funny. But yes, it's just a joke. And then someone said, maybe don't rile up Alex so often. And I'm like, it's too much fun for me to do that. Someone said, you have kids, stop crying about no sleep, suck it up, buttercup. I'll take that one. And then you need to apologize to Alex. So I would say, Alex, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Alex. I have to apologize to you.
And what about my feedback? You know, I was never diagnosed. There's a lot of dyslexia talk, which is something else. I'll tell you that. I was never diagnosed with dyslexia. My brother had a pretty serious case of it. And I think I might have a mild case of it, but hey, no excuses.
You played O-line. You got like.
I think that is a bigger contributor. Just getting in the head so many times. And they also, I was such a big lad. They started me a year early. Like my dad was like, you know, you should start in fourth grade in New Jersey, or at least when we played. And he's like, he's good. He's big enough. They started me in third grade. So I got an extra year of just head injury. I can't imagine that's helping.
O-line, let's go. No, but all seriousness, like me and Alex are like brothers from another mother, like really good friends. We're not like casual friends that have a podcast. We are like Alex is like the best friend that I have. Like we're boys, like nothing. It's not like I clown you on the pod and you resent it or anything like that. It's like the
best
pod
man
is just,
at each other's weddings kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. No, like OG always got your back. Love taking the piss, having a laugh. That's what we think the pod and everything should be. And I definitely sometimes like, I have a sharp mouth on me, and yeah, sometimes I get you good, sir. And I'm sorry for that, but
he apologized. It's all 400 pods in. He apologized.
Alex, you love it too. You know, it's it's like it's good. So you can read your own feedback.
Another dyslexia comment. So maybe I should get diagnosed. If you're truly not clinically dyslexic, I will be very pissed. I find the arguments between you two hilarious, amazing passion, homemade phrases. My wife comments about that a lot. Really enjoy your colorful personality. That's one way to put it. However, some of the Glazer out rants drag on, even though we all know it's true. I just have something about the Glazers just bring out the worst in me. I'm sorry I drag on too long sometimes about that, so I'll work on that. Alex, wonderful hearing you struggle naming cities of the world. I wish I came from from a place that's more difficult to pronounce. That's also John makes me read the names. Like we have an eclectic group of followers. And crack more dark ales. We're gonna need it. Shout out to that. You know what? I used to like we have a good win. I would have a dark ale because of it. There wasn't enough of that. So hopefully this season there's plenty to celebrate.
Yeah, I know. And then obviously, Alex, you're gonna have a baby boy here.
My wife is 36 weeks pregnant. So. I don't know if he's coming first or the season's coming first, but it's getting close.
Well, I'm sure I speak for all American Devils where I, you know, give a big shout out to you and your wife. Can't wait. More kids on the pod. I know I was told not to talk about it, but that's just who we are. Thank you for all the feedback. Look, I think we distilled it down. Some great ideas for segments. The negativity. How can we not be negative after that last season? That's the worst. Like, also take into account that we watch every game. Like, you know, when I wasn't doing a pod, we would just like, I'd watch, like, I couldn't watch them all. Like, you can't, but like, we watch every game. And getting up at 4 a.m. and seeing that last year was brutal. I'm not going to lie. Like, that. So,
suck it up, Buttercup. Look, it's in your feedback. Suck it up, Buttercup.
But this season, you got to be able to turn the page, and I think we're going to do a good job at that. And that's why the feedback's good. That's why we need it. That's why we do the survey. So, again, shout out to everyone. You know, I'm sure a lot of other pods wouldn't be talking about negative feedback on their show, but that's, like, the connection we want with the fans, and we want to be able to, like, hear it all, and we want to get better. Like, nobody's perfect. We can improve, and, like, this show is for the fans. Like, we are basically funded by your support exclusively. That's the way we want to run it. And we want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, you know, when United sucks and the Glazers suck and we're just yammering on about it, like, yeah, we want to hear that. That's great feedback. And onwards up for the season 10, Hag. Save us. Save us, Hag. But that's it. That's the pod. We're for fans by fans. Check out our website, AmericaRedDevils.com. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Write a review, like, subscribe, wherever you listen. Alex, give us those top downloads last 7 days.
Who's ready for some mispronunciation? Look at this. This town from Canada. Oh, my God. Like, they picked it out of the top of the litter just to make it as hard as possible for me to pronounce. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Top 7 downloads. Top 10 downloads last 7 days. Etobicoke, Canada? Dude, I don't know. St. Louis, Missouri, Los Angeles, California. I can't laugh it up, bro. We're switching next season. Batavia, Illinois, Vero Beach, Florida, Brisbane, Australia, Kearney, New Jersey, Langley, Canada. Jesus Christ. Wanadote, Oklahoma, I think. And last but not least, Charlotte, North Carolina. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We could not do it without you. Exciting times ahead. Finding the balance. We like the feedback. We really do. We want to get better. We're not going anywhere. This pod brings us so much joy. This team brings us so much joy. And, sir, looking forward to this season. Eric Ten Hag's Red Army. Let's go, baby. We're going for top four. Goal posts have officially shifted. I think top four would be a massive achievement this season.
All right, sir. Take us out. What song you got?
Sir, Pride of All Europe. Never forget it. Enjoy your weeks. We'll talk to you all soon.